This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Yeah, 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 whoa, whoa. Jake and Amir and the E passion high five beats. Whoa. If I were you, show Jake and Amir will answer yo. Questions with a blessing, you will stop feeling low. Relationship was missing, well, worry no more. Send your chick to Jake and he will take her down low. Whoa, maybe not, but hey, if help is what you need, these dudes will answer anything if they ever read your question. They got thousands, but they never concede. They'll get to you eventually, just at their own speed. So heed their advice, it is gonna change your life. Feel alright, the shit is like you found Christ. Jake is a pussy hound and Amir is smart. Together they made it follow you and turned advice into art. So talk to your cell phone and download the shit, bro. These motherfuckers are mobile, you can take them as you go. But I'm gonna sign off, you know, for my half-assed flow. So ladies and gents, let me welcome you to If I Were You Show.
Holy shit.
Did he call me a pussy?
Jake is a pussy hound and Amir is smart.
Oh, alright, chill. Let's chill.
You're fine with pussy hound?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, as long as you're not a pussy.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I am a hound.
Ow, ow, ow! You're a dog.
Sure.
You really are a dog.
I am a lonely little dog.
What?
Ow, ow, ow!
That's you saying ow, because your heart hurts.
Oh, ow, ow! I'm alone.
Yeah, you're howling at the moon by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Howling at the moon by yourself. You know how that should go. Yeah. This guy was Marcus Engman from Sweden.
Ooh, American rap from Sweden.
Yeah, he's new to the whole music making thing, but he'll give it a try. Sounds like he's pretty good at it.
Yeah, if that's your, you little asshole, if that's your first try.
Yeah, not bad, right? Just this jazzy, bassy, cool little ditty.
Slam dunks. Yeah, I haven't tried basketball before, but it seems pretty chill.
Man, I wonder how many people in America can dunk, but have never dunked.
Hmm.
What a waste.
It's true.
What a waste that would be.
It's true.
Do you think it's a million? It doesn't really matter. I guess we'll never know.
Yeah.
What is this show? It's an advice podcast, If I Were You Show. And people will email us to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. They're in sticky situations. They're in need of our advice. And Jake is a pussy hound and Amir is smart.
True.
Do you think that, what do you think is more true, me as a pussy hound or you as smart?
What do you mean? That's
like, the... it, in this song, it says Jake is a pussy hound and Amir is smart.
Right.
But if you were to flip those, which one do you think is more accurate? Are you more smart than I am a pussy hound? Do you think I'm a pussy hound, I guess is the question.
I also think I'm smart.
Right.
I'm a genius.
So the question
I'm a borderline genius, dude.
Which one's more?
It's me. I don't think you're very much of a pussy hound at all.
Oh, you think I'm just like a casual hound? I'm a pussy casual.
Yeah.
Like, I'll take it if I can get it, but I'm not hounding it out.
Right. It's very rare that I've seen you hound for it.
Like, is hound necessarily like a negative thing? Like, you're obsessed with it and not in a good way?
How can you be obsessed with it in a good way? I'm obsessed with pussy in a very healthy, normal way.
Yeah, you can be that. Like, you can be like more active socially, trying to go on more dates, trying to get more numbers.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's a nice way of looking at it. But I think anytime you're a pussy hound, it's a pretty negative connotation. It's like all you care about is pussy.
Right. And the city that you're from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I am going to drink until I feel it. I am going to smoke until it's done.
You know what I've been trying to do? It's hard to quite describe it. I'll see if I can do it. You know that line in Back to Back where Drake says, back to back like I'm on the cover of Lethal Weapon?
Yeah.
Back to back like I'm Jordan 96-97. Uh-huh. That rhyme is sort of wedged in there in a very like hard to pronounce way. Like, I made it seem very casual right now, but I practiced it a lot. So can you say those two lines and see how difficult it is, or maybe it's not difficult for you?
Back to back like I'm on the cover of Lethal Weapon, back to back like I'm Michael Jordan 96-97.
Right, it's that Jordan 96-97 thing where he like tries to cram it in. He says, like I'm Jordan 96-97. So he doesn't say Jordan in 96 and 97.
He says Jordan 96-97.
Yeah, it's almost like Jordan 96 is like one word. Like, Jordan, I'm Jordan 96-97.
On the cover of Lethal Weapon. Like, I'm Jordan 96-97.
Yeah. But that's one of the subtle things about rap that you don't really think about.
Right, the cadence that he rhymes with.
Like, it has to be the same amount of syllables. Or, I mean, I guess whoever wrote that for Drake, because I don't know if y'all heard.
You're going to really take Meek Mill's side? You can't like back-to-back and then beat Meek Mill.
I think whoever wrote back-to-back was fucking great. I don't think it was Drake. I really don't think. How can you know?
What if Drake hears this podcast and he does a diss track at you?
Oh my God, amazing. Also, when do you do a diss track? Like, you have to, that's giving someone respect. It's almost like he shouldn't have done it.
Well, that's why he said, I'm probably going to regret this later.
Right, like, but then he admits that it was weighing on his conscience.
Right.
So it's almost like giving someone a diss track is actually giving them props. The real diss track is no track at all. And if you go back-to-back two diss tracks, that's a huge get for Meek Mill.
I guess so.
Also, what was the first diss track?
Charged Up.
Oh.
Charged Up was... Charged Up wasn't that great. Back to Back is like a song that they'll play.
Yeah, they played it on the radio. Right. They actually did play it back to back. It's such a smart like marketing thing because it's like it has a built-in thing where people want to play it twice in a row because that's what it's about.
Yeah.
They asked me if I'll play the shit back to back.
It's about... The back to back is that he released two diss tracks back to back.
Right, but then they ask on the song he says they're going to play back to back. And then some radio stations do play it back to back.
It's really, really great.
I think I'm part of the OVO crew for sure.
I would love so much for Drake to write a diss track.
It would be called.
I mean, it all stemmed from Drake didn't tweet Meek Mill's album, or Drake didn't help promote Meek Mill's album.
So
Drake doing this is like clear. It's promoting Meek Mill to exponentially.
But why would he tweet about? Is that what other rap? Or was Meek Mill part of Drake's posse?
I don't think. Well, Drake was on Meek Mill's album, and I think they're part of the same posse because, fuck, now I don't know, but. Drake like funded Meek Mill's first album or something.
Oh,
like, maybe he donated $75,000 to like a production studio being built in Meek Mill's old high school or some shit like that.
It sounds like you're making stuff up, but it sounds so specific. Like, did you actually know that, or are you just guessing?
No? I read like a Complex article about like what the
beat in Complex is. Magazine, or was it just a Complex?
No,
article?
It was like, it was really hard to understand.
It was in National Geographic.
It was on Upworthy. I read an article about like where the beef stemmed from.
Yeah.
And it was because Drake didn't promote Meek Mill's album.
There should be a blog or an article series called Where's the Beef? And then it just it explains where the beef comes from.
Mm-hmm.
But the phrase where the beef is actually a kind of funny little marketing slang, a slogan from the early 1980s.
Right.
Right. So the column is called Where's the Beef?
Look, we all got it immediately. And you're over-explaining now.
But the articles are not about...
Blumenfeld, it was a great idea. We're going to do it.
Oh my God, really?
Leave the room quickly.
We already bought it. Are you looking it up?
Sorry. No, it's actually Shane lost getting back to the house, but...
That's going to happen.
Are you going to look... I can look it up. Do you want me to look up what the beef is about?
I guess we've already discussed it. Maybe for the next episode, we can do some research and get back to you guys.
That's fair.
All right, let's get to some questions. These are people who are in need of our help. Real emails from real people. Let's give them some fake names to preserve their anonymity. Anonymity. Got a lot of minity. How about a female name?
Nicki Minaj.
Oh, that's good. Hey guys, I'm an 18-year-old lady and I have a situation. Recently on a chat forum called Tagged, similar for Tinder, but I'm using it for friendship as I'm engaged, but on a break.
Ooh.
I got to a normal seeming guy. I've been craving Chinese food and naturally I was complaining about it, but to my surprise, this guy offered to buy me Chinese takeaway. Obviously, I begrudgingly rejected, but he didn't let it lie. And 20 minutes later, he had my email and was PayPaling me 10 British pounds. It's what happened in those 20 minutes, which is the problem. I sent nudes for 10 British pounds. Am I a prostitute now? Should I try and sell more photos to this guy? Also, he lives in the city not too far away and suggested I come over. Do you think he's planning on paying me? Should I go anyway? Toda. P.S. I'll attach the conversation that led to it so you can understand better.
Oy, oy, oy. Christ almighty.
Is it prostitution to send someone nude photos of yourself for 15 U.S. American dollars?
It's not prostitute. Clearly, it's not prostitution.
Because there's no sex involved.
It's not good behavior. I wouldn't reward that type of behavior from a man.
But is it worse behavior?
Motherfuckers never loved us.
That's the problem.
Remember? What happened here?
This guy wanted to like treat this girl well.
Right. You should never feel like you owe somebody something if they're doing some kind of creepy thing and giving you a gift. I've heard so many girls be like, oh, well, he like took me out to dinner and he like got me drinks. So we like kissed him at the end of the night. So we like had to make out.
Right.
That's not true. Nobody's asking for anything in return, or at least they shouldn't be. If he's like giving you money and saying like, well, what are you going to do for me? You got to be like, I don't want your money. It's 10 fucking pounds. Is that a lot of money?
It's 15 bucks.
That's but here's not worth your naked pictures being on his phone forever.
I read this conversation and it seems like he wanted to buy her Chinese food. She felt uncomfortable because then it's like, oh, I have to give you my address. And then she brought up the fact that he could PayPal her as like a joke, but a kind of a joke that's not a joke.
That's
like,
not a funny joke,
you don't have to
lady.
Do that.
I don't think that's very funny. Like, you clearly wanted the money.
Then she gave him her email, and he did do it. And then he said, do I get a reward? And she said, you got my number and time of day. What else do you want more? And he said, plenty more. Everything you can imagine. And then she says, am I going to end up essentially whoring myself for spring rolls? And he said, you could. It's getting late. When does your Chinese restaurant close? And she says, I could be a very lovely person and let you see my new piercings. So maybe they were booby piercings. So
well, now I want to see them. I'll Venmo you $1,000. Let me see your tatas.
So it didn't seem like that. It seemed like this guy already PayPal'd her and then was like, you know, what do I get in return? Not like, if you do this, I'll give you this. But either way, it's not prostitution.
Not prostitution, but it's porn. He led you into a trap.
I don't know, because she's the one who's saying, can I have money? It's not like he's like, can I send you money for pictures?
Right.
It's a gray area, to be sure. I will say she is a prostitute. That's completely unrelated to this. That was just her profession. She said, P.S., I'm a prostitute.
Oh.
Yeah, so...
Prozzy.
I would say this is fine.
It's not fine.
Is it not fine?
I don't think that people should be sending nude pics to strangers they meet on Tinder anyway.
What if... Oh, whoa. Isn't this a little bit of the pot calling the kettle black?
I mean, I do not send nude photos via...
But you've gotten nude photos before.
Never have I ever solicited nude photos.
What?
They come to me on their own, and I wouldn't say, hey, don't send me stuff like that.
So when girls send you nude photos, it was just out of the blue. It was just at the beginning of a conversation.
I've never, ever in my life asked for a nude photo. Not once, ever.
So if I look at your phone to see old nude photos and I read the messages before them, it's never, ever you egging them on, even in a polite, slight fashion.
I'll respond with positivity. Like, that would, like, this is making me so whatever. Yeah. I've never said, send me a photo of you naked.
But have you implied or requested it, not in a specific explicit way? I mean, you've gotten nude. I've not done it, and I've not gotten nude photos. So I can't imagine that just you're...
We don't go after the same types of people.
You're a pussy hound.
I'm trying to think really hard. And like
think of, okay, 4 years ago, you receive a nude picture. Does this sound about right? I don't even know who I'm talking about, but just think about 2012.
Sure.
And then what happened before then? It was like, hey, can I send you a nude photo?
No, it would be like, it always slowly gears up that, like, they're sending pictures of their face, or like they're about to go out and they look really attractive. Uh-huh. And I'll be like, that, yeah. You know, that's really great. Yeah, I love that. You look so good. And then it's like, send me another picture. Send me more, or like, don't stop sending these, something like that. And then I think that's usually like a green light to start removing clothing. And then it just happens. I've never, ever said, this picture is awesome. Can I see one where you're naked?
I don't think you said it that unsmoothly, but I think that you at least hinted at like, oh, can I see a little more or a little less winky face or some shit like that.
No, I don't think I have.
I don't think you've ever done it with a random girl like this, like right. A random girl you've never met before. Usually it's ladies that you have seen naked before, correct?
Correct.
So it's never...
Correcto mundo.
That's what you text. So this guy is sort of going one step beyond that, kind of like a little
but this is entrapment. He already gave her the money, and you, now he's saying...
You claim entrapment a lot on this show.
And now he's saying, now I want the reward. Before he was doing it out of the goodness of his heart, then once she's got the funds in her account, he says, what do I get? What's right. my reward? Like, whoa, I wouldn't donate money to a soup kitchen and then be like, and now what do I get in return?
A homeless guy shows you his dick.
So I don't think that he should have ever gotten the photos. That's beyond the point. You are not a prostitute. She shouldn't send, was one of the options send him more? He doesn't think you're a prostitute. He's not like, this isn't his move now where he's just going to keep on giving you money for nude photos and for sex. Like, that's not what's happening. What happened was, this is happening a lot on Tinder. Have you seen all these articles about like guys ordering girls pizza on Tinder?
Oh, I have seen that.
It's like a thing that is happening.
Girls are just sort of taking advantage right. of dudes' horniness.
Yeah, they're like, oh, will you order me a pizza? Like, oh my God, yeah, I can't believe I'm doing this. What's your address? Like, that's happening. So that's what this dude was. He was flirting with you. He was like, if I buy her Chinese food, that's a way to like get her to meet up with me. He doesn't think that... He didn't find out that you take money for sexual favors, and now he's going to have you over his apartment and pay you $1,000 for one night or something.
Well, what if these... Okay, so it's not prostitution. What if somebody sends you money, and then you send them photos not of your boobs? Is that bad?
I think it's bad in the first place to take money from this guy. That's pretty rude.
Oh, so everybody's so you're fucked in the up wrong in this too. Situation. The lady's in the wrong too.
Yeah, she shouldn't have like asked him for money. That's a little fucked up.
So in the pie chart of the blame, how big is her slice?
It's
50-50.
I think so. I think she should have not asked him for cash. And I think he shouldn't have sent the cash, but once he did send the cash, he shouldn't have expected nudes in return.
And then when he got the nudes,
then everyone's in the wrong. But now it can stop. You don't take any more of his money.
You guys are at least even.
And don't send him any more nudes.
But would you say what happened in a vacuum is wrong if nothing else happens after this? I think what happened is fine. She got food. He got boobs.
Yeah, an illicit exchange of money and goods.
Do you think it's illegal what he did?
No, because he didn't say, I am giving you this money for these nudes.
Right.
Which also, that might not even be illegal. I don't know. I don't understand how law works.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like an unspoken rule barter thing. Like, I'm gifting you this $10, and you are gifting me these nude photos, and they're not related in any way.
But right.
Clearly they are. I mean, I don't think this is good. I don't. There's no world where like if everyone's doing this, that's a good thing,
right? But if they're doing it, I would. Yeah. Okay.
In the grand scheme of the universe, you're fine.
Yeah. It's not like you killed an
elephant. But don't do it anymore.
Yeah. You didn't murder a lion or anything like that.
Hey, too soon.
Oh,
dude.
Come on,
Mufasa
dude.
Just died.
You know,
in that
movie. I'm Team Dentist. I'm Team Meek Mill, Team Dentist that killed the lion. I'll say it.
Jesus Christ.
I don't care,
You're
going
to get lambasted on social media for this.
I really am. I'm going to lose in the court of public opinion. All right, let's read another question. This one's from a dude.
Drake writes. He's written into the podcast before, I think.
Yeah. Hey guys, big fan of the show. Congrats on the podcast network. That's actually a good point. We did launch a podcast network called HeadGum.
Yeah, listen to our podcast. Go to
HeadGum.com for a bunch of new shows and episodes rolling out on a daily basis. HeadGum.com. Let's get back to the question. My girlfriend and I broke up a month ago after 2 years of being together. It was mutual, but I was the one who did the breaking up. And now I'm hanging out with a few different girls trying to get back out there again because I've been doing the dating game for 2 years. I'm not sure how casual I can keep things. Mainly my question is, if I'm seeing and hanging out with multiple girls, am I expected to give full disclosure on being casual? Or can I just sell it like they're the only person I'm hooking up with? I don't want to lie, but if I'm not in anything serious with a girl and we haven't defined what we are, is it all right to just fool around? Best regards.
Drizzy. Drake. This is a problem that Drake actually has.
Yeah,
too.
I bet. Like when he takes a girl out for like a date, I
think he says one of his lyrics is, "I made every woman feel like she was mine and no one else's."
Oh wow! So at the very least, he's making her feel like she's the only one.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a need to be fully disclosed? Like, by the way, I'm seeing somebody else this week.
Or do, I don't you think just there's a need to
don't
be fully
mention
disclosed
it at all.
Like that. Like, by the like, full disclosure, I am seeing several other people. I've slept with one. You don't like full disclosure is a little too much disclosure.
Right.
But how about we go medium disclosure? So you're not lying.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to ever be a liar.
This is the white lie.
Yeah.
So you say, oh, I'm not seeing or not seeing anybody. Let's just not even talk about it.
You just say, well, you just avoid saying, you're the only one I'm seeing. That's an easy thing.
Right.
You just don't tell somebody that they're the only one.
And then,
if they say, are you seeing anybody else?
Mm.
You say, I just don't know how to answer my own question.
You just stumped yourself. You're lying to yourself. Let's see if you can lie to yourself. Keep this conversation going.
God, I've been in this situation. Are you seeing anybody else? Like, oh my God, that's so like, you just say no every time. You do. You just say no. I don't think I've ever gotten that question. One time my whole life, somebody was like, am I the only person you're sleeping with? No, twice. Am I the only person you're sleeping with?
Actually, three.
Fuck everyone.
But you don't, you're not a repeat customer. That's why you cut people off after one.
Yeah.
You're a one and done.
One and done.
Didn't I ask you this once? Of the, what percentage of girls that you've slept with, have you slept with only once?
Oh yeah.
And would you say it's over 50?
Probably over half of them.
Baller, dude.
Yeah, dude. That's how Hurwitz do.
I love that.
Yeah, dude.
You go to a fucking ice cream place and you say, can I sample? Can I sample? You're the wooden spoon,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, dude. And what happens with the spoon at the end of the night?
It gets discarded.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like in a old paper cup of toothpicks with other dirty spoons.
Other dirty spoons.
And there's a handwritten note that said, used spoons, deposit here.
Uh-huh.
And then you're like, can I actually use my spoon again?
And I never get my full fill of ice cream. Sometimes I do get sick of ice cream and I just want a little salad and I just want to it's fine. I'm not lonely because I'm with so many people. How can I be lonely if it's a different person every night?
She's just exactly. The flavor of the week. You're a foam cone. A wafer cone, the kind that doesn't taste like anything.
I'm a wafer man.
A thin little wafer cone man. Where were we? Right. Do you have to disclose? I think if she asks you point blank, you have to say yes.
Yeah.
Because you can't.
Yeah.
That's when the white lie becomes a black lie. That's a discrete, distinct. By the way, I'm staring at you. You asked me a question.
You say, are you seeing blank. Other people?
No. That's the lie.
Yeah, you can't say that. So she says, are you seeing other people? And you say, you don't have to say yes or no. You say, this is a great conversation that we have to have. That's totally a great point.
That's correct.
And then you say, excuse me one moment, dear.
What happens now?
I've got to use the restroom.
Okay.
And then you go to the bathroom. You
what
lock
happens?
The door.
Oh, you lock yourself in
and bang your
there?
Head very hard against the toilet.
Oh, like you get down on your knees.
Like you slipped in the bathroom.
Uh-oh.
Now she has to take you to the hospital. And I don't think this whole are we exclusive thing is going to come up again anytime soon.
So
dodged a bullet there.
Dodged a bullet, but head first straight into a porcelain bowl.
Yeah.
Or you can turn it into a joke. Are we seeing any people? I don't know if I'm seeing people, but I'm seeing Popel. How about Pope Benedict?
Potpourri.
Yeah.
A potpourri of people.
Yeah.
No. I am a wafer man. Vanilla, chocolate, strawberry. Every flavor on a flavorless man.
Call me. A lot of people have a Napoleon complex. I have a Neapolitan complex. Yeah, I'm going 3 for 3. Which one
Mint
are you?
Mint chocolate chip, cookie dough.
He ain't even cookie dough.
I'm basically a cup. I am a cup man.
I am a small single cup, single cone, single scoop.
I am the little ketchup packet of frozen yogurt thing. What is the little paper, the tiny little
the paper ramekin?
Cup.
Yeah.
What is it? A
little paper ramekin.
How do you know the name ramekin?
Ramekin, I know, is like a small little cup, but I don't know if that, like what they put like mayo and ketchup in. Actually, on Twinnovation, I was listening to their episode today. And
wait, is that episode 3?
No, 2.
Oh, okay.
But Carnell talks about greasing the guy who works at a frozen yogurt place for like a stack of paper ramekins so that you can just, he's like, dude, you make $10 an hour. Give me a stack of them for $5. Who's saying no to that? One of his schemes is just free froyo.
This episode was so funny because Carnell's like get rich quick scheme was just like how to fly drugs across the country. Did you get to that part yet?
Yeah, not really a scheme.
Not really, just you know, drug trafficking.
Which in theory is a scheme.
I guess people do make a shitload of money doing it. You say, I think you just, maybe you can come out ahead of this conversation before the, like, are we seeing other people? Just like, hey, I really like spending time with you. By the way, like, I just got out of a kind of serious relationship and I'm really just having fun and I'm doing my own thing right now.
I think you don't have to have that conversation until pretty late. Like, usually it doesn't come up in my experience, within like the first like 3 or 4 dates.
Also, and if you're like dating people on Tinder, I feel like you're not the only, like, they don't, nobody on Tinder just is getting like one date and sticking with it, or at least not a lot of people are doing that.
What do you mean sticking with it?
I mean, like, when you're on Tinder, you're constantly swiping and meeting up with people. When you're like dating in general, you're meeting up with lots of different people. I don't think anybody's doing like, oh, okay, I have this one, I'm like totally single, I'm dating, but I'm only dating one person at a time. You date a bunch of people, and then when somebody's like really great, then you slowly phase
everybody
else out.
They distance themselves out from the pack.
But yeah, I think it's okay that you're, one thing to always remember is,
wait, we got to go to break. We will come back. No, let's hear it.
I think it always helps to encourage the person who you're dating to do the same thing. Like, oh yeah, I mean, like I'm having fun with dating right now. I hope you are too. You should be doing the same exact thing.
But saying that before anything comes up seems like you're just like,
oh yeah, I'm saying not,
if you get quote unquote called out,
yeah,
on
if
it.
You get cornered,
yeah.
But I think in general, just don't tell anybody they're the only person. There's no need to lie to them and say I'm just dating you and you're just dating me and then you're dating other people. That's silly,
right? So I guess you don't have to say it before it comes up. But if it comes up, don't lie about it.
Mm-hmm.
Is a general rule.
Yeah.
What do you think? General rule. I agree. We have a new character on the show called General Rule. He's sort of an old Southern general. And whenever we come up with general rules, he agrees with it.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Generally, he rules.
Nice. Let's take a break and just kiss each other. And then we'll be right back after this.
Come sit on my lap, Daddy.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law.
Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there, and you know what? You can update it with an app, so every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's auraframes.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's auraframes.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not need.
That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Box. Yeah, Bark Box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn,
and
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. Congrats. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most of it yours. Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rocket Money.
Back to back. I think it's been mentioned before, but we do have a lot of great episodes on HeadGum this week. I'm actually on Julia Nunes' podcast this week.
That is correct. You are on their podcast.
Her podcast.
That is correct. You are on her podcast.
Nice. Great.
You're not going to edit that, are you?
No, yeah. Okay. I'm okay without that cool. As being the edit. But maybe we'll put, like we did at the end of last episode with Gabrus's, I'll put a teaser of that episode. Yeah,
nice. That's
so
a good idea.
If you keep listening, you'll hear a sample of it.
You didn't do that when I was on Nunes's podcast?
Yeah. Well, I did. Yeah, I did it with when us on Gabrus.
Us. Us. AKA you.
Fuck off.
Sorry. Is us me and who else?
Me.
You. Okay. So you twice, me once.
Are you happy? You're smiling about this.
Ooh, got you in a lie, Blumenfeld.
How do you like the haircut you got today?
I like it. I dig it. It's really short on the sides.
You got a one on the sides.
I got a one on the sides.
Shortest it's ever been on the sides?
Shortest it's ever been on the sides, I think.
You left and you were like, I'm going to go full Marty, we call it. Which is like Marty. A one all the way to the top. Didn't quite go all the way to the top, I will say.
I can't believe you're going to put me on blast.
It fades up a little bit.
It fades from a one.
It fades from a one, but it doesn't go all the way to
what
the
is
top
yours?
Of your head.
What is yours?
Mine is a one at the base where yours is into a three.
Mine is clearly obviously not a three. A three.
A threeny. Yeah. I'm a threeny weeny. But that's the cool haircut to get is short on the sides. The question is, how short are you willing to go? And for whatever reason, I'm too afraid to go very short.
I mean, a three is very short.
But, like, I'm afraid to go... Like, zero is the ultimate. Right. I can't do that. I said it just goes to show you how far away I am from getting a tattoo. I'm unwilling to get a short haircut for fear of having a short haircut for that long.
I think the real difference is that the fade to a three makes it look a little longer on the top.
Right.
You could...
You could do a 1-2-2.
A 1-2-2, or a 1 all the way.
A 1 all the way, yeah.
But, yeah, for whatever reason, I always get scared to cut my hair short.
Yeah, it's weird, because it grows out in, like, a week.
Yeah,
it's
like, not... the difference between a 1 and a 2 is literally, like, 4 to 6 days of not cutting
it. It's, like,
it.
Nothing, yeah.
And yet I still won't do it. But maybe with enough prodding from our fans, if you tweet at me, Lord, give me the strength.
Hashtag let's see the one.
Hashtag Amir's number one. Well, it's really hard because hashtag's already a number sign.
Oh.
Hashtag number one would be like ##1.
Yeah, well, I guess I could do that.
Was hashtag a word before Twitter? Like, was that always a hash? It was like a pound sign.
It used to be the pound sign, but I think it was also always the hash sign.
Oh, but not a tag?
I don't know. Hashtag, I think it used to be a hash mark.
Mm.
Hashtag that's a tagging thing, right?
Right.
It's a way to tag. Oh, interesting. So hashtag, did Twitter invent that word?
These are questions we don't know. This, the Drake beef, we're waxing. We don't understand most things.
Yeah.
We have a show in Toronto in October.
Oh.
Our podcast is sold out, but we have another show that has still tickets available. Plus, you can still get into both of our shows with a festival pass. It's just for Wait, last
there's
42.
There's a show that has tickets?
We're doing two shows. I think one, the podcast is sold out, and then we're doing like a regular straight comedy show, whatever
Excuse
that
me.
Means. What?
Excuse me?
We're doing two shows in Toronto.
I like the podcast because we get to have no script and drink whiskey. And right. A stand-up show?
Yeah.
That's a little frightening.
I'm afraid of that one. We did stand-up comedy shows in Montreal and it was fine.
You did.
Oh my God.
I didn't have any fun. Us is me and who's the other one?
It's me again. It's always me. You know.
You did stand-up.
So... before, when it was us, you felt like you weren't a part of it. Now you feel like you're not involved at all. Like, it's just me.
It was just you.
It was always just me. One set of footsteps. Footprints. Foot. Fuck. Let's start this podcast over.
Oh, it's fine. No, I don't want to.
All right. Do you have to go anywhere? Can you answer one more question?
I was going to go to the climbing gym, but yeah, we can answer one more question.
Yes.
You don't want to climb with me today, right?
I'm on the fence.
Well,
I'm climbing on the fence. Nice. Can you read this one, or should I read it?
I can read it.
I think I forwarded it to you. It's question number 3. Advise me, PLZ.
You got it, dude.
I could use a break.
Yeah, sure, man.
Permission to squeeze me while you read.
Permission. You want me to grant myself permission to squeeze you?
I want your permission so that I can squeeze myself while you read.
Not granted. Denied. Absolutely denied.
All right.
You're jerking off.
Go.
Hey, guys. I've been a long time. Oh, who wrote this?
Meek Mill.
Meek writes, hey, guys. I've been a long time fan, and I'm emailing you guys because I need some advice. I went to a concert with some friends, Slipknot, in case you were wondering, and my friend who drove us there also drove these two girls, sisters.
Hot.
That he knew, but the rest of us didn't. One of the girls and I talked quite a bit. She seemed to be at least somewhat interested in me. Needless to say, I was also interested in her. Just got to tell you, buddy, you use a lot of parentheses. Sometimes they're not sides. Sometimes they're just part of the sentence.
Flow. Okay. Yeah.
So I was considering asking her for a number at the end of the night. However, after the concert on our way back, I didn't get to speak to her too much since she spent most of her time talking to her sister. The thing is, though, we both want to do the same thing. Parentheses. Be doctors. And she may have just cared mostly about the advice I gave her, parentheses, since I'm 2 years older. She also mentioned that she gave some guy at the concert her number, parentheses, we were seated in different seats. Although when he texted her later that night, she expressed regret at giving him her number and didn't want to talk to him. From talking to her, I found out we have quite a bit in common. I don't know whether I should ask my friend for her number or something like that, or just forget about it. I'd really appreciate it. Any advice you guys have? P.S. Maybe don't read this on the podcast.
Great way to get it read on the podcast.
Deny.
Thanks for the suggestion. We will read it. there's so much funny little things in here. One of my favorite little subtle things, I don't even know why it tickles me so much, is when it says, we both want to do the same thing, and then in parentheses, be doctors.
Yeah.
It's just like a costume to him. We just want to, you know, do the same thing. Be a doctor.
That's a huge life commitment.
I just want to be that. And also he's like, maybe she didn't like me. She just mostly cared about the advice I gave her. But that's a way of showing interest in someone.
Yeah, that's like, liking someone.
Yeah, is hearing their advice. What do you think about her getting some guy's number during while they were flirting? Like if you're flirting with a girl and she gets another guy's number, is that a way to flirt with the original guy?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Is that what you do?
I don't know if I would necessarily do that, but if a girl was doing that to me, I would know what it was about.
Oh, so like if you're flirting with a girl and then she comes back, she's like, I gave this guy my number.
A really great way to like flirt with somebody is to sort of complain about like a date that you have to go on or somebody that is like, I don't know. It just really works out because you're like, oh, this girl is like, I totally don't want to do anything with her. She wants me. I'm wanted. I'm desired. And I would rather be with you.
Oh.
That's what you're saying.
You're also saying, like, look, I'm so competent enough. Somebody's already given me a pass. Like, somebody's already into me. So clearly I'm just normal enough to go on a date.
You should definitely ask your friend for her number.
Oh, you think it's good to go?
Yeah, this is GTG for sure.
And then why does he not ask her directly? How do you get somebody's number? Like, if you
Well, it's too late now. I mean, now it's too late. Because they're not in the car anymore.
Oh, so he has to ask the friend to ask the sister to ask the sister.
Well, the friend is friends with both sisters. You don't need to go through the extra sister. You just say, hey, what's this girl's number?
And then is that guy obligated to ask the girl or he just gives the number? If I ask you for a girl's number, do you ask her or do you just give it to me?
In order to get you the best chance of like a date, I would tell her that you asked for the number.
So
I don't see any world where the person is like, no, don't do that. But yeah, you see, like it's more to hype up the situation. Like, hey, good news. Guess what? That guy that you were flirting with in my car asked for your number. Can I give it to him? She's like, oh my God, totally. And then it's like, hey, green light. The number has been given with a blessing. That means you feel way more confident texting. You're like, right. Hey, you knew this was coming. How's it going?
Right. And then you can start off be like, hey, since we both want to do the same thing, you know, be doctors. Mm-hmm.
and we both love Slipknot.
Yeah. Do you think any potential future doctors are at a Slipknot concert? Mm. Or that's a red flag to begin a new career?
Yeah. I don't know.
Like if you found out your orthopedic surgeon is super tired from having gone to a Slipknot concert the night before.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want them partying at a Slipknot concert like when we have to...
While they're doctors.
Yeah. But they're like, he's still in school. He can hack it.
Yeah, he's 21. She's 19. They're at a Slipknot concert. Seats at a Slipknot concert. Does that seem right to you?
I'm a little miffed y'all weren't in the pit.
Yeah, you really got a mosh.
Let the body hit the floor. Let the body hit the floor.
Yeah.
Is that Slipknot?
You went to a poetry reading last night, tried to start a mosh. What is that?
Oh, are you snapping?
Yeah, that's how you started it.
Slam poetry.
Yeah. You stood up.
So I tried to slam some people home.
And you started, what is it called when you walk bushwhacking? You started walking around in a bushwhacking circle. Nobody dared confront you. Somebody asked you to leave and you bushwalked straight out of the library.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I started like punching myself in the head and headbanging. Yeah, it was chill. It was a good reading.
You're wearing black cargo shorts and a black t-shirt.
And chain wallet with a magic 8-ball on it.
a full magic 8-ball the size of a grapefruit on the chain.
My key ring has not a magic 8-ball key ring. A magic 8-ball and a Rubik's Cube. Because that's how big my pockets are on my black cargo shorts.
All right. So ask for her number. Do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. What's the worst that can happen? She says no and you feel ashamed, embarrassed.
Oh,
and
wait, that can happen? Don't ask for her number.
It's not worth the risk.
I'll feel shame.
Or shame's ugly cousin.
Embarrassment.
Regret. Remorse.
Or shame and regrets. A hideous redheaded stepchild.
Hunger. It's so removed.
But you don't want to feel hunger's abusive grandfather.
Tired.
Yeah. But Tired has an illegitimate stepson.
Green.
Mm-hmm. I love and this. And Green has sort of like an evil, evil mistress. She's 49.
Yeah, Deborah. Not even an adjective anymore.
And once I felt Deborah. I felt Deborah so hard that night.
Yeah, once you go Deborah, you never go back. One thing I forgot to mention before we go is this tour video that our boys Basil and Dylan made for us in Australia.
Yo, Basil and Dill, my fucking boys for life.
These guys followed us around to our two most epic shows, maybe ever, Melbourne and Sydney.
Yeah.
And made this behind-the-scenes featurette where it shows us backstage, it shows us preparing for the show, it shows fans at the show, it shows footage from the show of us and Streeter. My parents even saw it and loved it.
Really?
Yeah, it's like this great little look into what our shows are like. So if you haven't checked that out, that's on our website, ifiwereyoushow.com and jakeandamir.com. And on our YouTube channel, we have a YouTube channel for If I Were You. Did you know that every podcast episode of this show is posted to our YouTube channel?
I knew that.
It's true. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week, maybe Thursday. I should double check. We'll be back either Thursday or Monday. The opening theme song was written by Marcus from Sweden. And this closing one was written by Matt King. If you have any questions, if you have any theme song submissions, if you have any Facebook thumbnail submissions, ideally 300 by 600 by 315, but we'll take what we can get. Send them all to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Keep the tweets and fun posts about HeadGum Podcast coming. We love finding out that people are discovering new shows and that our friends are just as funny as we are. All right, cool. Oh, yeah. And a little taste of that Julia Nunes episode with me at after this theme song. Later, everybody.
Peace.
Hi, I'm James. I play Amir on the podcast.
Hey, y'all.
They've actually done studies where it says girls are like clingy little shits and dudes are actually chill.
Hey there, if you've got a problem, oh, I don't suit you, which guys who can help you solve it? Just email in ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Toda, I warn you, shit will get real. You've only got a hashtag's mom and she's always listening, cause she's his queen. And it's that's okay, cause she sometimes gives him money, sees that cheese. I'll be pissed if they don't play this.
Uh-oh.
Now I'm on public blast, oh shiz. If I were you, the show is starting now. The only podcast that will tell you how to do you every Monday. They'll even preserve your anonymity. So if you killed your neighbor's dog, can hear your brother watching porn, your girlfriend's cheated on you in The Sims, for goodness sake, just email him. I'd call somebody else's dad, lasered your pupils up cause you thought it was rad, bought a necklace for your ex-girlfriend. Why haven't you already emailed him?
I don't even know, man, I quit.
Oh my god, really?
This question just broke me.
And I did it every year as much as I could. And by the time I was a senior, I got to run the show because I was so
so immersed. Musical.
Yeah. I was so musical.
At the end, you just became a musical note.
you just walked through the holidays, always singing full volume.
Yeah. What's the kind where it's like too attached by a bar? Like, that's what you were at the end of the year. You just woke up one day, like the Metamorphosis, and you woke up and you looked in the mirror, and it was just a giant musical note.
Just a quarter note.
Yeah, with glasses.
Just, I didn't wear glasses in high school.
Loser.
You're right. You're right. That's fair.
I wore glasses in third grade.
Wow.
And it's interesting because those are the types of glasses I wore.
Yeah, you texted me a picture of you the other day in glasses that I... very similar to the glasses.
Yeah, now they're finally back. Like, it's a 20-year cycle. That was when I was, it was like 1991, and now those glasses are cool again.
Yeah, the background of my phone, people listening won't be able to see this, but is a picture of my friend Abby as a 3.5-year-old, almost 4-year-old, in glasses that magnify her tiny baby eyes.
That's so cute. Well, I love when like 3-year-olds wear glasses, because one, so how do they know? Like, it's, first of all, it's very adorable, like to see like this 3-year-old wearing glasses.
Yeah.
Two. How do they know? How do they know what they can read if it's an eye exam? Like, can you read the third of the row for me? No, I can't read. I don't know what letters are. How do they say what? Oh, it's better. 1, 2.
I have no
two
idea.
Or three. 3 or 4. They don't even know what numbers are.
Yeah.
So how do they do that?
I don't know. I should ask Abby.
I'm calling her out. I think those are vanity glasses.
Vanity baby glasses.
That's right.
Hipster baby.
Hipster baby wearing vanity glasses.
Those aren't even real.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.